First and foremost, I just want to thank God for giving me this opportunity just, you know, to share the Word of God with you. And secondly, I want also to appreciate for the church leadership and the congregation, you know, to open up this door for us that, you know, we can share with you the Word of God. I'll be failing in my duties if I do not appreciate what the early missionaries sent by this continent did in Africa. Today I can stand before you because there were men and women who risked their lives to come to Africa when Africa was considered to be a dark continent. And today I stand as a fruit of their labor and also the labor of you people who are sitting here, who had to pray, who had, you know, to support. And you have continued to do the same thing. Thank you for sending Liz and David, who are also, you know, in Africa, saving our people. May God richly bless you. Your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Let me also take this time just to appreciate for the gift that we received from this church, for the mission training classroom. You know, your gift will go a long way in helping us as OM and African missionaries, and Africa missionaries, you know, to send more workers. You are part of the, you know, the 5,000 workers that I'm talking about. Because without you, we cannot do what we are doing. Quickly, let's turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Is it possible that they can project the scripture?
No.
Okay. Then I will... Okay, I will use this Bible which is here. And I will read from verse 9 to 13. The Bible reads, Romans chapter 12, verse 9 to 13. It says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual favor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. You know, without taking much of your time, this morning I want to share with you the message that I have entitled, True Love. Or if you want, you can call it love in action among the community of believers. It is believed that the book of Romans was written by Paul. And he wrote this book to the Jews and the Gentiles. And if we look at this book, it's like in the first part of this book, he talks about the doctrine or the belief of these people. And when you come to chapter 12, it's like now he's trying to encourage this community of believers. Or now they need, you know, to demonstrate or to live their faith in the community. And I wanted us just, you know, to have that understanding that it is important for us as Christians to understand what is true love, and the importance of this true love and how we can demonstrate it among believers and even people who are not, believers. Christianity, when you look at Christianity, it is different from other religions. Why? Because Christianity is not based on anything else. It is based on love. And love is very foundational. When we remove love from Christianity, I think there will be no Christianity. Because the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his begotten son. So if we remove this agape love from Christianity, then we'll be just like other religions. Love is a kingdom principle, which we need, to show. Because at one time, like I shared in my testimony, my brief testimony, I was lost. I was in the kingdom of darkness. But by this love that I'm talking about, I was rescued and brought into the kingdom of light. And in this kingdom of light, there is, this principle of love that you and I are expected, to portray. We will not make impact in our communities, in the world, if we do not understand what true love means and how to demonstrate it. The church today, and I'm trying to generalize, the church today is failing to make impact in the world because, we do not understand what is true love. I just took time to say, as I'm thinking about this true love, let me look at what other people have said about true love. And it was very interesting because I looked at people that do not believe in God and people that believe in God, what they have said. And I came up with two quotes. This one is somebody who knows Christ. And this is Mother Teresa. I liked the way he defined love. She said, love is to give until it hurts. Love is to give until it hurts. So if I think of true love, that is a true love indeed. Because if we look at John chapter 3 verse 16, this is what, happened to God. He had to give his only and begotten son. For the sake of you and me to be saved. It was not easy, but he had to do that. And to me, that is the true love. This is the agape love that, the Bible talks about. Another person who happens to be a missionary to India, and she's very famous and known, Amika Michael. She said, you can give without loving, but you can never love without giving. I'll repeat this one. You can give without loving, but you can never love without giving. This is very true. And we need to think about this as believers and as Christians as we talk about true love. Another unknown author said, love is never love until you give it away. You cannot say, I love you, but then you are not demonstrating it. It's only when you demonstrate it, that's when it becomes a true love. God didn't just think about loving the world. He had to act upon it. And to me, that is true love. It is to be committed and to act upon. It is to be committed. So when we talk of true love, when I talk of true love, I should know that I need to be committed to this love, but also, you know, to act upon. There is too much talking among us as Christians and less doing. That's why, you know, we are not seeing God moving powerfully in our generation. And I just want us, you know, to look at the way Paul defines love from the book of Romans. Because when I was reading and when I was told to say, choose between, you know, coming up with your own message or, you know, to go through the series, when I looked at the scripture, I said, I think this is good for me. And I just want with you and I just, you know, to do a bit of exposition of what Paul, you know, defines the true love. From verse 9, I like the way he has put it. He says, love must be sincere. You know, meaning love should be without pretense or hypocrisy. When I say I love you, it should not just come from my lips. It should be something that is coming from deep down my heart. And if I'm not happy about something, I should not, you know, pretend as if everything is okay. And yet inside of me, that is not what is there. And to me, this is what I have seen, you know, in Christian circles. And when non-believers or people outside look at us, they say, this is a bunch of hypocrites. I came in touch with a quote from Mahatma Gandhi. We know Mahatma Gandhi. This person is not a believer or the follower of Jesus Christ. He said, I like your Christ, and I don't like your Christians. Why? Because Mahatma Gandhi had to study the life of Jesus Christ and what he did. And he saw that Jesus was walking the talk. He was not just saying things and, you know, living differently. And this is what, you know, we see in Christianity today. We talk about love, but then, you know, we not act on that love. And that's where, you know, people see us to be a bunch of hypocrites. May God help the body of Christ that we may not just talk about the love of Christ, but live the life of Christ. And even when we say something, the Bible says, let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Because sometimes, you know, especially in Africa, I don't know in Europe, you find that you talk about something and you agree to say this is what we need to do, and people will say yes. But again, when it comes to action, they are not there. That is not, you know, love. That is not sincere love. We need to be people that are true to our words. Then the other thing that Paul, you know, talks about in terms of what is true love, he says in verse 9, he says, hate what is evil. Hate what is evil. Brothers and sisters, this is the challenge in this postmodernism age. There is a lot of compromise, not only outside there, but even among believers. We have compromised our doctrine. We have compromised our beliefs. You know, where we even come to accept things which are not right, where people say, you know, truth is relative. Meaning, depending on how you understand things, you know, that determines how you do things. No, the Bible here is saying we should hate that which is evil. And also we have adopted three, you know, standards. Where we want to be politically right in order not to offend the people. But here the Bible says, you know, we should hate that which is not right. If it is evil, we call it evil. In Africa, where I come from, people, instead of calling sin sin, they will say, no, it is my weakness. It is not your weakness. The Bible is very clear. If it is sin, let us call it sin. Let us not, you know, compromise, because these are the things that are making us not to experience the power of God in our lives. One person said, wrong is wrong, even if everyone is doing it. And right is right, even if no one is doing it. And as Christians, if we are to show this true love that I'm talking about, we need to hate that which is evil. Then Paul goes further by saying, and we need to hold on, or to cling to what is good. That is true love. If we are to demonstrate that, or if we are to show the community that truly we know what we talk about in terms of true love, we need to hold on to that which is true. True love, according to Paul in verse 10, it says it is to be devoted to one another in love. Where, you know, you are concerned about the affairs of your brothers and sisters in the Lord. We should move from that point where your brother has got a problem, then you just say, let us pray, and you end there. The Bible is very clear. Yes, prayer is important, but we need to act upon. That is what he says in James, to say, you know, you cannot just say, God bless you, when you have the means of doing that. And this is one of the things, I think, which is becoming challenging to us. And this is where even other religions are challenging Christianity. In Zambia, the northern part of Zambia where we are working, it is an area where Muslims have started, you know, penetrating. And these Muslims have come up with a fishing business, which they are running, and they are making a lot of money. So what they do, they go to the market where the ladies, vulnerable ladies, are working. And then they will ask them to say, have you read James chapter 1 verse 27? What does it say? They say, you know, true religion is to take care of orphans and widows. Then they ask them, do your churches help you with something? They say, no. In fact, it is the church that expects us, you know, to give. Then they say, you know, in Islam, we believe in giving. So here is the money. So Islam is the true religion. So we need to be devoted to one another. We need, you know, to love one another in such a way that, you know, we are not just we're using words, but, you know, we act on what we are talking about. Then, you know, he goes also by saying, honor one another above yourselves. This is the life of Jesus Christ. And Jesus didn't just talk about honoring people, he lived it. After spending time with his disciples, we find that it was Jesus who took the towel and he started, you know, to wash the feet of his disciples. This is what should be demonstrated among, you know, the community of believers. We need to esteem others better than ourselves. When you look at Jesus Christ in Philippians chapter 2, it says, being in the very nature of God, he humbled himself to a point of, you know, a slave. Why? Because he wanted to demonstrate what true love is. Even when you read about him washing the feet, it was just to show his disciples how much he loves them. So may we be like Jesus, where, you know, we honor one another, where we affirm one another, where we encourage one another. One sad thing that I see in the body of Christ, there is a lot of tensions. There is a lot of, you know, name calling and assassination of, you know, behaviors. May God help us that, you know, we may be people that are honoring one another. And it is out of that people will come to know that, you know, we are followers of Jesus Christ. To me, this is a true love which should be portrayed among, you know, believers. Paul goes further by saying, never lacking in the zeal, but keep your spiritual favor. When you look at Jesus, Jesus had this passion. What was the passion of Jesus Christ? The passion of Jesus Christ was to do the will of the one who sent him. And what was the will of the one who sent him? Was to save sinners. I don't know how much you are passionate about, you know, this vision that God has given us. If we read in Revelation chapter 5, verse 19, we see John having this vision where he saw people from every tribe, language, tongue, standing before the throne of God. This is what had to consume him with what he did. May God give us the same passion for the lost people. You know, I always tell people to say, the love that we have experienced should be demonstrated to others. You know, gone are the days when we were thinking to say, we can only send missionaries to China. But now, God has opened the door. Chinese people are everywhere. They are our neighbors. And he's asking us, you know, to show them that love. Syrians, where, you know, these countries were closed, but through the immigration or, you know, the immigrants, they are just at our doorpost. Are we reaching out to them or we see them as enemies? So we need to have that zeal. We need to have that passion of, you know, fulfilling what God has called us to do. It goes further by saying, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. So if we are to show true love, according to what I see in Paul's, speaking to the board of believers, is that, you know, we need to be people that are praying for our fellow believers, but even to those who have not come to know Christ. This is very, very important. And also he has talked about true love is where we save the Lord and one another. You cannot say, I love God, and then you are not willing to save him. You cannot say, I love God, and then you are not willing to save the people that are made in the image of God. And most of the times, you know, we have got these excuses where we say, no, you know, it's very difficult for me to do this. No, God is asking you with what you have. He will not ask you of something that you don't have. I've tried to do a bit of research, and I've seen that whenever God was calling people to save him, he was asking with what they have. Do you give your time to do God's work? Do you use your giftings to save God? Do you use your resources, you know, to save God? And you know, when I look at love, its importance, and you know, that it needs to be demonstrated, and I'll be concluding, is that when we talk about true love is about service, which I have talked about. True love is about sharing with one another. And true love is to give hospitality to believers and even to strangers. And the Bible says it is out of this that, you know, some people were blessed. May God continue to bless us as a congregation, even as we think about this true love, that true love should not just be in words, but it should also be in truth and also should be in action.
Thank you.